Good morning, church family. It's so good to be with you today. My name is Caleb. I am a student ministry pastor here at the Centerville campus. I am from Southern California, so this weather, this heat is awesome. Is anyone with me? A couple of you, great. I would love a little less humid, maybe a little less rain, but being from Southern California is awesome. It was so fun. I grew up playing all kinds of sports, baseball, basketball, football mostly, and then later on in my life got involved in tennis, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I have been at Fairhaven for just shy of 7 years. At the end of this summer, it'll be 7 years, which has been an awesome experience. My wife and I got married 2 weeks before moving to Dayton. We got married and then 2 weeks and moved to Dayton to be at Fairhaven, and we have loved every minute of it. And now we have a 9-month-old. Her name is Adeline, and she is just the best. Yeah, she's awesome. She is crawling now and saying dada. That was her first word, so like, can't be mad about that. It's great. And unfortunately, she had a fever yesterday, so they are not with us this morning. They're at home. But I want to, before we go any further, I want to make sure I welcome all of our campuses to Centerville. It is awesome to be here with you. And Classics right down the hall is great to be with you today as well. Beaver Creek campus, Northmont campus, Springboro campus, and those watching online. I've got family watching around the country, including my wife and daughter at home. We get to step into a new promise from God this week. Last week, Pastor Jared talked about the promise of peace. And now that I am a father, I have unlocked a new set of fears. Fears that I did not have previously. I've also unlocked new shopping experiences. Like there's a whole section of Target or Amazon that I'm now allowed to shop at, which is great. The fears, on the other hand, are a little scary. That's why they're fears. When Addie was born, the amount of times I counted her toes and her fingers for about 2 weeks was ridiculous. We just had to make sure they were all there in the right spot. I still, to this day, will check her monitor every night. Are you still breathing? She's good. Sometimes I get a little afraid of what's going to be waiting for me in the diaper. Sometimes I have a heads up based off of the smell. Sometimes there's surprises, and I have some fears of what is waiting for me. As 16 years from now, I'm already afraid of the thought of her driving. Or 40 years from now, when she's finally allowed to date, I'm afraid of that boy that she's gonna bring home. I have fears. And so this promise that we get to walk in today is the promise that God is with us. It comes from one of my favorite passages of scripture in Joshua. But I was doing some Google research. You know, Google's our best source. And I was looking up lists of fears that people have. And I've had some life experience, so I kind of have a handle on what some people might be afraid of. And I had created this list based off of what Google said. And this first one is my biggest fear, is snakes. I don't know if it's because of the fall or what, but snakes are a huge fear of mine. This weekend on Friday, some of my family went to the zoo in Indianapolis, and I just can't go into the exhibit. You're not putting me in a room full of snakes. If there's a snake in my yard, I'll probably get an Airbnb for a month and just pray it goes in somewhere else, somewhere far away. Or they're just scary. Like I've seen too many videos of Australia where they pop up in the toilet and they open the toilet seat and there's a snake, or they're in the walls. I'm sorry if that unlocked a new fear for you. They're terrifying. I don't want to deal with them. And some of you, maybe it's snakes, like creepy, crawly, critter, creature things that you're afraid of. And this list is in no particular order. Heights or flying, maybe roller coasters. I know a lot of people who won't ride roller coasters. The third one, public speaking. Yeah, I get it. I said this last year when I spoke, but I have to pretend that all of you are middle schoolers. That's how I can speak to you guys. Public speaking is scary. If you would have told me about 10 years ago that I would be doing this kind of thing for my job, I would have said, you have a fever higher than my daughter. You should go get checked out. It's ridiculous. Public speaking is a huge fear for people. And these next couple are more umbrella terms. There's a lot that is grouped into these, but this one seemed to be the biggest one, was health. Whether that be health for yourself, health for a loved one, dying, someone passing away, the diagnosis, that was a huge one across the board. Now, the next one was finances, whether that be the loss of a job, a car breaking down and having to pay for a car, being in debt through college or medical bills. And then lastly was government or current events. Pastor Jared talked about this last week a little bit too, but what's going on in our country, what's going on in the world, on any political party, any side, any ethnicity, any religion, there was a fear. of what's going on. So as we walk through life, there are a lot of fears that we encounter. So we get to look at a promise from God in Joshua chapter 1. So if you will, flip over to Joshua chapter 1. We'll get there in a second. As you're flipping over to Joshua chapter 1, whether it's a physical copy of the Bible on your iPad, your phone, the Fairhaven notes, Joshua is being, he's carrying the mantle now for the Israelites. Moses has passed away, and now it's Joshua's turn to lead the Israelites. If you know anything about Moses, how can you step into those shoes? If you don't know anything about Moses, I'm so glad I get to give you like a 2-second brief on it. Go read Exodus. It's a fascinating, incredible, not boring story at all. The Bible is not boring. Go read it. But Moses was called by God to free the Israelites from Egypt after hundreds of years of slavery. Moses was like, I'm not your guy. I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. You got to find someone else. And God was like, hey, I've got you. I'll be with you the entire time. And so through miraculous wonders that God did through Moses, there were the plagues and the Passover, and they were freed, and Moses parted the Red Sea and was given the Ten Commandments. How do you replace that guy? In Deuteronomy 34, just before Joshua chapter 1, it says, And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So Moses is passing the torch on to Joshua. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 10, there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Ooh. How do you follow that up? Imagine your name is slotted in there. Like, how cool would that be? There had not been a prophet since in Israel like Caleb, whom the Lord knew face to face. That sounds good. That's cool. But Moses had met with God face to face. And now Joshua's up next. This is like Tom Brady leaving the Patriots and then they draft Drake May. It's like, here you go, dude. You got to follow up the goat. Good luck. Go get him, Tiger. So think about the weight that Joshua is feeling as he's taking this next step. And so in Joshua chapter 1, we'll start in verse 5. God is talking to Joshua. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's an incredibly encouraging word from God to Joshua. He's taking this next step. I will never leave you or forsake you. And continues in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So verse 6 is the first time we see God say, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. There's a second time. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He doesn't say be strong and courageous in this verse, but bookmark this, put a tab in it. We're gonna come back to this later because this is a hugely important verse as well. Verse 9 is where our promise comes from. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is a verse that we'd see all the time at Hobby Lobby or in people's offices and their Instagram bios. It is a very common verse. In fact, I looked at Bible Gateway. They had all the top 25 verses searched in 2024. This was number 25. Now, Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 made up 22 of those other verses. You can't just take out the Bible, but if you take out these chunks of entire books, it is only behind John 3:16 and Jeremiah 29:11. This is a hugely important verse to a lot of people. It is searched often by people. And God is telling Joshua, be strong and courageous for a third time within 4 verses. I think that matters. Now, I can't speak for Joshua, but I can just imagine the weight and the pressure and the anxiety and the fear that I would have trying to step in for Moses and lead the Israelites. And God is constantly reassuring him, be strong and courageous. Now, the word fear, we tend to know. We have a lot of fears, and that word fear means terror, dread, alarm. We get that word. This word dismayed, it's not a word that you usually use. Maybe you do. I have never really used this word in conversation before, but dismayed in the NLT version, it says discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And that Hebrew word, dismayed, also means to be shattered. It's kind of intense. Maybe you were up for a job promotion and it was between you and another person and you lost that promotion to someone else and you were shattered. Maybe you're in a relationship that didn't go the way you wanted it to go and you were left shattered. God is saying, do not be discouraged. Do not be shattered. He's telling this to Joshua as he is entering a pivotal time for the Israelites, as he is leading them to the promised land. We actually get to see this played out in Joshua's life. So if you will, let's rewind about 40 years. We're going back in time about 40 years in Joshua's life. It's kind of like we're starting towards the end of a movie and going backwards. So in Numbers 13, flip over to Numbers 13. At this time, Joshua is an assistant to Moses. And he is a spy, he is a soldier, he has led them in war. God comes to Moses and says, hey, I've got this land, it's called Canaan. This land is for your people, it's for you and your people. Now send out spies. So they get 12 spies for the tribes of Israel. One of them is Joshua. But a side note, if you're looking through the list of names that are of the men that were spies, the name Joshua isn't actually in the text. There's a name, Hoshea, which means salvation. Hoshea, son of Nun. So this was Joshua's name previously. Moses actually changed his name, and it went from Hoshea to Yehoshua, or the shortened version is Yeshua, which maybe you're familiar with that word, that name, because that is Jesus's name. It's fascinating that his name went from salvation to now the Lord is salvation. That first part of Yehoshua, Yeho, kind of like a pirate, Yeho means God or Yahweh. That second part, Shua, means salvation. It is not Joshua that is leading them to the promised land. It is not Joshua or Moses leading them to salvation. It is not those two men or these spies leading them to salvation, to their saving. It's God who's doing that. And Jesus, Joshua are the same name. Jesus is the Greek version. Joshua is the Hebrew version, kind of like George in English and Jorge in Spanish. That is a side note, but important nonetheless. So they've got these 12 men and they're like, all right, you need to go out, spy out the land for 40 days. And they do. And they come back with a report in Numbers 13, verse 27. They come to Moses and they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. So they come back and like, this place is awesome. It is flowing with everything that we need. It's got our food, it's got our drink. And they even brought back this cluster of grapes that took two people to carry. I've never seen grapes that big. I would like to, but it took two people to carry these grapes. That's how awesome this land was. However, don't want to see that word. Verse 28, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So everything looks awesome. It's got everything that they could need. God has promised it to them. However, the people that are already living there, that are in that space, are scary. There's a fear that arises in 10 of these men, not Joshua and Caleb, but 10 of these spies have this fear of what they saw. These people are strong. This enemy is massive. We can't defeat them. And Caleb goes ahead and was like, hey guys, we can do this. We have God on our side. And they're like, no, this is scary. They're like, we're gonna go tell the people of our report. And so it continues in verse 32. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. So we seemed to them. These people are huge. We cannot defeat them, is what they're saying. These are giants. And many scholars believe that this Goliath is a descendant of these people. These are huge people. We cannot do this. even after God had already promised them this land, they went off and said, "We are afraid." When I was in high school, I mentioned I played tennis. I was gearing up to go play college tennis at Indiana Wesleyan. That's where my wife and I met. I was playing in this tournament, trying to get some prep in before heading to college. And I played in this tournament called the Open. Now, if you qualify at the Open, it was all of Michigan. If you qualify at the Open, you go into the Closed. Really creative titles for these tournaments. But you go into the Closed, if you qualify there, then you go into Nationals, the biggest tournament in the country for high schoolers. And so I'm preparing and I get my draw the night before, and I see next to my name, the name above me, was the number one seed in the tournament. However, not only was he just the one seed in the tournament, he was the literal number one player in the entire country. And a giant, students, 6'7". Only a couple. If you're over 21, you don't understand that reference. But this guy was 6'7", 6'8", depending on what website you looked at. He was the number one player in the country. He ended up going on to play as a wild card in the U.S. Open for doubles. And I had heard a rumor before. I cannot verify if this is true or not, but at the Close the previous year, there was so much trash talk between him and his opponent that he punched his opponent. What do I do with this? A 6'8" guy, I don't know if the cameras can pick it up, but I am not 6'7", 6'8". Thanks. And so I'm like, how do I even prepare for this? So I go into this afraid, a little discouraged before even playing in this match, and I step onto the court in Kalamazoo. I've got my tennis bag on, all my rackets. I got my big water jug, my protein bars, my snacks, extra socks, extra shirts. I'm ready for the day. And this guy walks onto the court with two rackets in his hand, keys, phone, and a water bottle. As students would say, this guy had aura. He had this swagger to him. He knew that he was going to walk through the first couple rounds of this tournament, probably the entire tournament. And so I get on the court with him, and he starts hitting serves that bounce and go up over my head. Even if I'm standing at the fence, it had so much kick on it. I wanted to win a point in each set. That was my goal. And unfortunately, this was not a David versus Goliath situation. I got wiped off the court. I'm not ashamed to admit it. This dude crushed me. And I wasn't a necessarily bad player. If you're familiar with college recruiting, there's like 5 stars, 4 stars. I was about a 2-star, 3-star on a good day. So I wasn't awful, but I did not belong on the court with this guy. At one point, I hit a shot against him for a winner, and my friends behind me started cheering, and he looked at them and then looked at me and went, I was like, God, I don't punch me, please. I just want to get out of here. I want to go home. I'm ready for bed already. And I walked out of that match so discouraged, ready to call my coach, my future college coach, and say, hey, I'm decommitting. I don't deserve to be on this court. And so these men are going up against what feels like or are these giants. We cannot defeat them. They are way too big. We can't beat them. That land devours its inhabitants. Well, a wise person, a being, once said, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. This is a theologian from the Dagobah system. You might recognize him. This is Yoda. I know he is not a theologian, but what he says rings true, and maybe not necessarily the entire quote. For some people it might, but for these men, these spies, fear led to suffering. These men let fear draw them away from God. They let fear dictate their decisions. They made this report to the people and said, we can't go. And there were consequences to this fear that they went into. And because they walked in fear instead of the strength of the Lord, God said, I'm going to disinherit you. And Moses goes and intercedes on their behalf. And then, so God says, okay, anyone 20 or older will not see the promised land. You will wander in the wilderness for 40 years where you will perish before getting to the promised land. See, fear has this ability to draw us away from God. Notice I say us away from God. God doesn't draw away from us. When we are afraid, when we are discouraged, that can feel crippling. It can feel paralyzing. Fear can literally bring us to our knees at times. We draw away from God. These men drew away from God, and there were consequences. My friends, do not let fear or discouragement draw you away from the promise that God has for us of heaven, from that hope that God has for us. Fear can draw us away from God if we allow it to. But how do we get through that fear? I told you to bookmark Joshua 1:8. Pull that back up. Joshua 1:8, God says, "This book, the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." When you are afraid, when you are discouraged, we have God's word that was written so long ago, inspired by God, breathed to life by God. It is still active and living today for us. It is for me and it is for you. We get to read God's word. We get to read as he says to Joshua, "I am with you wherever you go." When I was like 6 years old, I had my own room. I had a bunk bed, and underneath me was no one was sleeping under the bunk. Beneath me, my sister had her own room. There was a closet across from my bed and a door off to the right. And I remember getting afraid of monsters in the dark. Maybe you've been there before, your kids have been afraid. And my mom would come into my room and we'd get this imaginary spray called Monster Spray. And we'd spray it around the room. My mom says she doesn't remember this, so I must have done this after she left the room. But if there was a big monster that I was afraid of, I'd take a monster grenade or a monster bomb and just give it a little towards the closet door. But we get to have this fear spray, this monster spray, this enemy spray, this discouragement spray of God's word. When we are down, when you are on your knees, last year when I was preaching, I was backstage on my knees praying because I was so afraid to fail or to mess up or to say the wrong thing. When you are crippled by fear, paralyzed by discouragement, we have God's word. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. God is bigger than our fears. In Isaiah 41, the Israelites, to no surprise, mess up again, and they are in exile. And as they're in exile, God says to them, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This is another one of those verses that is extremely popular that you might find at Hobby Lobby or in someone's office or Instagram bio. But God is saying, you are not strong enough on your own. You might be for a little bit, but when you get to your knees, I am here to pick you up. When you are shattered because of that discouragement, I am here to put the pieces together. God is on your side. And then 13 chapters later, in verse 17 of Isaiah 54, God is talking to Jerusalem as they're rebuilding after Babylon destroys it. And God says, "No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed." God is the creator of everything. And if he is the creator of everything, he is bigger than any weapon that can be formed against you. Whatever is said to you, whatever is done to you, God knows it has happened or will happen. He is not afraid of your fears. There are times where our fears feel big and like a fortified city and strong, and God feels small because we have drawn away from him. It feels like he has drawn away from us. We can't feel God all the time, but we can feel that financial burden. So it feels like God is far. He says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. Maybe you've heard the song, Our God by Chris Tomlin. It came out like 15 years ago. And if our God is for us, then what could stand against? That's why I'm a youth pastor, not a worship pastor, but if my God is for me, then what can stand against me? If God is with you, if he is on your side, there is nothing that can overcome God. What an encouragement that is. And maybe you're saying, well, this promise was to Joshua. This promise was to the Israelites. This was in the Old Testament. I'll lead you to Matthew chapter 1. This is a verse that we see a lot around Christmas time. It's almost July, Christmas in July. Matthew 1:23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." I'm going to stop there because this actually happened this morning. On my drive here today, this morning at like 7:30, whatever it was, There was a bumper sticker that said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And next to it was an ultrasound picture. And I just want to know how they got a picture, an ultrasound picture of Jesus. I would like to have that. It's probably worth a lot of money. But anyways, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." God was with his people in Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, as they were in exile. He was with Joshua as he was leading the people into the promised land. Then Jesus took his seat in heaven to come to earth as a little baby, both fully man and fully God, to be with his people. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus then went on that cross, died, was resurrected 3 days later, and defeated every battle that you will ever face. We get to walk in the courage and the strength, knowing that Jesus has already defeated the enemy that can feel so large, that can feel so fortified, that feels like a giant. When Jesus went on that cross and defeated death, he defeated every battle once and for all. Every battle that you will face, every fear that you will face, every discouragement that you will face, Jesus defeated it on the cross. What an incredible promise that we get to have God with us. There's a time in my life where I walked away from God because of discouragement. When my parents were divorced, got divorced when I was in middle school, I put myself in my own wilderness. I was in my own exile as I was discouraged in my faith with God. "I don't want to be with you right now. You allowed this to happen to my parents." And I wandered in my wilderness, and I can look back and see over those 6 or 7 years how God had been in every detail. He was with me when I messed up to the point of almost getting kicked out of college. He was with me there the whole time and had put people in my path, things in my past that are in my path. I ended up at a chapel service that was about forgiveness where I heard him speak to me. God is with us, and he is waiting for you to come to him, to draw near to him. If you're afraid that you've wandered too far from God, that you're not good enough, you're discouraged in your walk with God, open up his word and read his encouragement to you. If you grew up on VeggieTales, you'll know that God is bigger than the boogeyman. God is bigger than anything that we will face. If you're afraid of finances, things are going wrong, God is with you. You have a whole church family who is here to support you and help you. If you're struggling with a relationship, if your marriage is just in discouragement, God is with you. If you're afraid of what is happening currently in the world or our country, know that God is seated on the throne, has not left that seat, and is with us. Anything that has happened, is happening, or will happen is not surprising to God. Your fear is not too big for God. He was with Noah on the ark. "I am terrified of oceans. I will not do a cruise." Noah and God were together. God was with Noah in that space. God was with Paul as he was shipwrecked and in prison. God was with Mary as she was with Jesus. Like, think about the weight of being a mother to Jesus. He was with Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. He was with Joshua leading them to the promised land, which they do end up making it to the promised land, just as God had promised them. There was a special spot for Caleb. God is with you wherever you go. Maybe for some of you, there's discouragement. There's discouragement for myself in sharing the gospel with people, especially close friends or family. And I get inspired by students because they walk in a boldness that sometimes I do not have. Church family, thank you for investing in the students because they are the current generation of the church. They're not just the future. If you know me, you'll hear me say that multiple times. They are going out into their schools, into their classrooms, into their sporting events or their extracurricular activities and speaking with boldness that God gives them, sharing the gospel. And even for myself, when I ask a friend or a family member to watch a service or to come to service and they say no, that's discouraging. How different would our lives be if we walked in the strength and the courage of the Lord? If you, maybe you're going out to brunch after this, or you're going for your Sunday afternoon nap, but as you go into your work week and we go through this summer, how different would your attitude, your confidence change if you're walking in the strength and the courage that only God could provide? How different would the kingdom look after that? Maybe you got a diagnosis that wasn't the diagnosis you were looking for. Maybe that relationship ended. Maybe you're heading off to college. God is with you. God is with us. If our God is for us, then who or what can stand against? Nothing. Our God is bigger than the boogeyman. Our God is bigger than our fears. Our God is bigger than our discouragement. He's bigger than anything. Nothing surprises him or scares him. God is with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this promise that you give us all throughout Scripture, that you are with your people. Lord, if there is someone in this room, watching online, someone who is dealing with fear or discouragement, Lord, will you make your presence known? We know that you don't leave us, as we just read. So will you make your presence apparent? Will you be with these people who are fearful or discouraged of health or finances or government or whatever it might be? God, make your presence known to us. And I pray that as we end today, that we get to walk out in strength and courage that only you can provide. God, thank you for being bigger than our enemy. Thank you for being bigger than our fears or our discouragements. Lord, we love you and we're so thankful for your mercy every day. It's in your name we pray. Amen.